this is Dr. Julie Lesnick, professor and expert on human and insect ecologies. You are listening to Digital Watches Are a Pretty Neat Idea with your hosts, Jeff and Brian. They are bringing light and enlightenment to all non-evolved life forms, saying a big hello to all semi-evolved life forms, and causing severe brain damage to anyone higher up the evolutionary ladder than a demented bee.
Hi there, this is Jeff. I'm with my friend Brian, and we'll be talking about The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy in all its forms. But before we do that, let's listen to a message from one of our proud sponsors.
Hello, space travelers. Eccentrica here, inviting you to Milliways, the restaurant at the end of the universe. Be prepared for a dining experience you won't soon forget. By the end of the evening, the universe will explode for your pleasure. And for dessert, be sure to fill your mouth with a juicy serving of Pears Galumbits. I bet it will be impossible to eat all three.
Before we get started, I just wanted to say goodbye, folks from Hurrah Hurrah.
Hey, Brian, how are you doing today?
Hey, Jeff, I'm doing great. How about you?
Well, I'm feeling reflective.
Reflective, you say?
Yes.
Are you nice and polished and shiny?
I am polished and shiny, like I've been soaked in vinegar and WD-40 and put on a wire wheel. No, reflective.
Okay.
Like looking back. This episode, we're going to be looking back at the first season and talk a little bit about all the different episodes and what we've experienced so far.
Yeah, and isn't that funny? Because it's strange. I mean, I know it's been 12 episodes, and that represents a year, and we've certainly been working on this for quite some time, but to call it a season, oh my goodness, that's,
yes,
that just seems so strange.
I know. First off, I want to talk a little bit of personal information. We've talked about our likes and our dislikes, but we don't get into our daily lives very much, but I have no idea if my situation is going to hinder the release of episodes, but just letting everybody know, my wife and I have recently purchased a horse farm, and Brian has been out here for nearly a month. Actually, he was out here for nearly a month. He's just returned home. He did a lot of cleaning of my workshop and tools, so that's the soaking in vinegar and WD-40 reference. Anyway,
yeah, I was wondering if anyone would ever get that.
No, nobody would have ever just figured, hey, I bet he was cleaning tools.
Oh, it was very effective, and I certainly enjoyed my time out there. And you have a beautiful farm, and, well, I guess we call it a farm.
Yeah.
And the horses are certainly entertaining and exciting, and I know that it brought change to your life, but I'm looking forward to keeping up this process best we can and moving forward.
Oh, absolutely. It's an awful lot of work. Like I said, he was out here for about a month. I feel like I hardly saw him when he was out here. We had plans to do all kinds of podcast recording. We did absolutely none.
Not even a little bit.
Not even a try. So exhaustion set in.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, we definitely have a, well, we're about a generation apart, maybe, if you consider it that way. It doesn't really seem like it because we've been friends forever, but I certainly was wiped out at the end of the day, and I know that your schedule was all messed up, too. So
you think you and I are a generation apart?
Well,
5 years or something?
Oh, is it five? Well, I thought, I thought they always say 10 years is a generation. So
I always thought of 20.
Oh, 20 years. Oh, okay. All right.
You know, to have a kid.
There you go.
You know, kids every 20 years, that would be the generation.
There you go.
All right. So what I'd like to do is talk a little bit about the podcast so far and our feelings about it. And I'm going to start with when I decided to do this, one of my biggest fears was that I would have nothing to say or I would talk so much that I would never give you a chance to say anything. I hope neither of those has happened.
Certainly not from the review that I've done of all the podcasts that I've listened to. I kind of held back a little while before I listened to everything. Of course, I listened to the edited version that you provided for us, so I knew that the content was there.
Right.
But when you review the whole thing, I think it's a pretty good balance. I'm pretty excited about that.
Well, good. That's what we're trying for. Any surprises that you've had doing this?
I would say there were a bunch of surprises. I didn't realize how in-depth we might get with the material that we had as source material. Having listened to it for all those years, I thought I knew everything I needed to know, and I found out that I didn't. And
right.
That was a surprise.
That was certainly a surprise. Oh, when we started this, all of a sudden I started getting a couple of different emails, and they just sort of cracked me up. And this isn't emails. These weren't fan emails. We don't get any fan emails. These were solicitors.
Oh, there you go.
So my favorite one was this one company that wanted to tell me that I could get paid for doing interviews on the podcast. So right. If I wanted to be paid to do interviews, because people are looking to get their message out or promote whatever they're doing, and if our demographic overlaps their demographic, then they'd want to do an interview, and we'd get paid for doing the interview.
That's exciting.
And we could be on that list for only $5.95 a month.
Oh, all right.
Gosh, so yes. It's all of our $5.95s that are paying mm-hmm. for this one guy that gets paid to do all these interviews. So,
amazing.
Yeah. So needless to say, I didn't sign up for any of that stuff because I didn't think anybody would be beating the door to do interviews with us. And just to let you know, anybody listening out there who might want to do an interview on this podcast, you can do it for free.
We might even pay you.
we might even pay, yeah. Yeah. Zoe Deschanel, if you would like to do an interview about the movie.
Oh, gosh. Fantastic. So one of my favorite things is how have been able to solicit friends and family to add to our podcast. And I have to tell you that Julie and her real life life gives such an incredible opportunity. And I'm so excited when she's part of the show because she sounds great and she's a real person that just makes me laugh. And I really enjoy listening to her as well.
Yes. My sister Julie has been gracious and has done a number of our different episodes. And she is a real doctor. She's got a PhD. Every introduction or commercial she does, she introduces herself and she just rattles off a long list of credentials that has to do with what she's specifically going to do the commercial or the introduction about. And they're all real.
I know, it's amazing.
She's not amazing. Making anything up. Everything that she has said is actual.
Yes. I also want to thank both Denise and Lorraine for the little tale out that goes with our episodes. I enjoyed working with my wife to try to get her to do that little tale out, as you call it. And probably a lot of folks haven't even heard it because who listens to the very end of an episode?
Right.
It still makes me laugh because I know you know this, Jeff. I was trying to get her to do the episode like Zsa Zsa Gabor does in Green Acres. So I was trying to get her to do an accent. And the two of us were just laughing and laughing and laughing because she just doesn't have the knack of accents. we probably recorded that thing. It took us a half an hour. And what's it last? Like 15 seconds?
Yes. Less than that. Yeah. Literally they talk about our fake production company and they say, this has been a Fruits for Thought production. That's it. What is that? 2 seconds?
I know, but we had so much fun recording it. I love it. I love hearing it at the end. And I always listen all the way to the end just to hear the little outro.
Yeah, I do. I do as well. The other thing is that after Lorraine did it, I wanted to include Denise in the thing. So I asked her if she would just, it's going to be real simple. All I need is just for you to say, this has been a Fruits for Thought production. 5 seconds, sit down. The microphone's all ready. Go. And she does it. She does one take. It was perfect. She left. I sat down to get it ready to put into a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first thing I did after we did the jingle bells for our opening theme for the Christmas episode. Mm-hmm. And if you remember, on the normal setting, the bells were way loud. We had to change the microphone to tone the bells way down.
Right, right.
Well, I didn't turn the microphone back up. So she was almost inaudible. And I had to say, could you come back and do that again? Because...
Oh God,
and then she did it again, and I had some other technical difficulty, and then I had to have her do it again. And I'm like, could you do maybe 2 or 3 in a row? That way I can just pick the best one. And I think I still have it. I might. Well, there's God, one where funny. It's just she says it in such a way that there is an implied asshole at the end of it. And I'm like, I want to use that one, but I won't.
Well, you know, I don't know if everybody, well, most of our audience probably knows Green Acres and Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Is it Zsa Zsa or Ava?
It could be Ava. I always get the two of them confused. I don't know why. Okay. You're right. It's probably Ava. But she says, this has been, I can't remember the name of the company.
Was it Desilu?
Damn. No. But she has, let's just say, so at the end, she ends her little outro with darling.
Right. And you were going to try and have Lorraine do a darling.
Yeah. Oh God. It was so funny. That it just, I can't even describe it.
And the other special person of note that I want to mention for doing commercials and our introductions is my niece Carly. Because who can go up to one of their nieces and say, I want you to do a recording where you're calling me one of the best bangs since the big one? And she says, okay. So she has been wonderful portraying, as I say, 2/3 of Eccentrica Galumbitz, doing the most ridiculous scripts that I can come up with for her.
Oh, I think you're breaking the third wall. Don't people realize that they're real advertisers?
Oh, yeah, they're real. Yes, with the real Eccentrica.
Oh, gosh.
If Julie is real, that must be the real Eccentrica. Oh, we give all that away.
We got special connections.
Yes, special connections. We're going to start at the beginning and just kind of talk about each episode that we've done and maybe a memory or two about it. So mm-hmm. We started out with episode 1, Hey, Sass Those Hoopies. Anything from that episode stand out in your mind?
Episode 1. Is that when we were introducing ourselves and talking about
the books and stuff? Yes, that was our introduction.
Yes. Well, what stands out in my memory is that I didn't come prepared with proper notes.
Yes, that was pretty funny. Oh, the learning curve we go through.
Oh, yes. But I do enjoy, I enjoyed the process of letting folks know who we were. And I thought it was informative and fun.
Oh, me too. The one thing I guess I want to say about it is I imagined at this point I would look back or listen back to the first couple episodes we did and cringe, but I don't at all. I don't think that, we either didn't get better at all or we didn't start out that bad. I'm not sure which it is. We have zero growth.
There you go. A nice flat curve, that is.
Nice flat curve.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I think that it was interesting because I will say that when we first started, I didn't quite understand the dynamic that we were looking for. And it did take me an episode or two before I began to understand the concept as you envisioned it. And I don't know that it shows up that much in the podcast, maybe a little bit, but I do feel that we've got a better flow and a better content method now than we did when we first started.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So then we did our first bonus episode. We had no intentions of doing any kind of bonus episodes, but I got an email and you talked to somebody, so we figured that we might as well say thank you to those people that reached out. So yes, we did a bonus episode.
And yes, that's right.
Once you've done one bonus episode, then you've just got to keep doing bonus episodes.
Yeah, the bonus episodes, I think, have turned out to be a lot of excellent content overall.
Yes, they fill in a lot of gaps, I guess, is the best way to say it. There's little things that come up or things that we discover about hitchhikers that don't really qualify for a full episode that work perfectly in the bonus episode slot.
I agree.
I wasn't sure how long I was going to keep the bonus episodes going, but we're going to keep them going as long as we have something to say.
I agree. That's an awesome thing.
Then, if I remember correctly, we started out our first episode saying that we've changed our format and we're going to break it up into two episodes. So primary phase wasn't just primary phase. Primary phase was broken up into two books or two different episodes because there were a couple of different reasons. We did the LP at the same time and there were two LPs that broke at this spot. And two of the episodes were strictly Life, the Universe, and Everything, where the first four were hitchhikers. So it was a natural break. It wasn't just something that we put in there. But I do find it funny that we made an announcement of what the first episode was going to be, and we changed it immediately.
Well, there you go. We were developing as we went.
Absolutely. The next bonus episode was our Christmas bonus episode, and I don't know if that's the favorite episode I've ever done, but it is by far the most research I have ever done on an episode.
Yes. It was quite fun. I thought that was a fabulous adventure that we had, and certainly I hope and I appreciate if folks who listened enjoyed that episode. Because we said Christmas episode so many times.
Yes. Yeah. One of the things that I discovered doing this Christmas episode is that there were... it said Christmas episode again.
Oh my gosh.
That there's actually stuff out there that I've never heard of. And it was fun to track it down and find it. And then it was even more fun to see it where it ended up in the books. And the first time I read the book and would hear these parts, I had no idea that it originated in this Christmas episode.
That's right. It's a lot of fun. A lot of discovery.
So then the next episode we called One's Never Alone with a Rubber Duck, based on the captain and his fondness for rubber ducks. And so that was the second part of primary phase. When I started listening back at these, what I did notice is that, in my opinion, every episode that we did, I liked better and better and better. It just, each one kept getting better. And then I'd be ready to do the next one. And I, oh man, we really knocked it out of the park the last time. Can we match that? And then I'd listen to it back and I'm like, we did even better. So I just, I've been very pleased with the way these have been going. So that's all I want to say about that. Next one was a completely different type of bonus episode. This is what we called Unconventional Times. It's when we talked about the conventions just starting to get back.
And right, and you told the story of the convention you attended in Detroit.
Yes, and my horribly uncomfortable experience dressed up as the captain with nobody at this convention. This was so empty. It was really, really sad and really weird walking around in a bathrobe holding a rubber duck.
Exposing your knees to
exposing
the world.
My knees, that's right. Graphic images.
That's right. I had to laugh.
Right. So after the unconventional episode, we got back to the radio series, and we did a more movie shade. And this would have been secondary phase.
Right.
I really enjoy secondary phase because it is so different than the books. It's like having a complete other story, even though so much is the same.
Right, right. And it's so funny because, I mean, it was only recently that we started discussing the ramifications of knowing all this information and then trying to parse it all back together and make it a coherent conversation. Because it's in this latest book that we were reading where we talked about Trillian saying that Zaphod's adventures were just an illusion.
Right, right.
And I thought that was funny because it just covered up all the possibilities of what actually happened.
Yes. So then we get to our Valentine's Day bonus episode. Uh-oh. Our first not safe for work, last minute submission Valentine's Day bonus episode.
Oh, I tell you, I laughed so much. And I still think the Valentine's Day episode is probably one of our best episodes.
I think it's my favorite for many different reasons. For many, many different reasons.
And I know that we agonized about it and we provided a secondary version because we thought we'd offended someone.
Yes. And
we still don't know to this day whether we offended her or not. But
no, we don't.
Odds are that we did.
The smart money is on we offended her.
And it certainly wasn't our intention. And we thought that if she was a comedian as she was and that she would be able to take a joke like we do, we certainly don't take ourselves too seriously. I have to tell you, when I listened back to the story that you told about the movie scene, it's still shocking to me because your description of the movie scene is actually more graphic
than the movie scene.
Than the movie scene actually is.
No, it's your imagination.
Yeah, well, there you go. And I did go back and I Googled it and found the clip, you know, and watched it, you know, because I really wanted to know what you were talking about. And I could tell you that I had never seen it prior to that. And I just thought it was funny because it isn't nearly as graphic as you describe it.
I don't think anything is. And I guess I want to say that it's not really a regret. I don't regret. It was just in the moment, this is what I said, because I was so astounded that you had never heard of that scene. It just, it was beyond my understanding of how you could not have not have already seen it. So I just let it go. And in all honesty, like we do say, that conversation happened after the podcast was over. That was not part of our original recording, but it was the, wow, oh, that gosh. Was so over the top. We have to include it.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. And brilliant editing job in that. And I think, like I said, it's one of my favorites.
Yes, absolutely.
And you know what's also funny? This has nothing to do with this particular episode. But until just now, I have never referred to any of the jokes in the book as one of my favorites. And of course, you laugh because you know the reason why that's funny is because you've said it over and over.
Over and over and over. And I said I was going to say it over and over and over.
Yep, exactly. I have referred to parts that I really enjoy, but as a technical verbal choice, I never said that exactly, which I thought was funny.
So after that, we got to the first book, a wholly remarkable book. So we finally got to the first book and we did that episode. And honestly, it was odd because it just seemed like we've been doing the same podcast for like three times in a row.
I was concerned about the repetitive nature, and you had even said that at the very beginning of the podcast, that we do have a limited scope and there is a repetitive nature to it.
Yeah, but I think we did a good job there. I enjoyed reading the book or listening to the book, as we've talked about a lot, for the first time in a long time. I've waited, and I try to listen to the books and get through the material as close to recording as possible, so it's fresh. And it's also something to look forward to. So I haven't all of a sudden listened to the whole series and then go back and listen. I'm just going one at a time. So unfortunately, if there's things in the future that would be spoilers if I said, oh, and if you remember in this book that comes after, they talk about this, you're not going to hear any of that because I don't remember any of it because I haven't read those books in a long time.
That's correct. I mean, I am looking forward to the next book. I know you've already done some of your research into it, and I found that that's probably the most interesting part of this episode, episodic radio show or podcast, as you call it. I didn't realize how much I would have to dig into the material and how I would write notes that could be relevant to our conversation. And that, for me, was a challenge at the beginning. I probably had twice as many notes as I needed in the first episode compared to the last episode. So I feel like I've progressed quite a bit. I think that helps to improve the fluidity of the podcast.
Absolutely. When you told me once that you had like 12 pages of notes that you didn't use, I'm like, well, say something.
Well, yeah. And to defend, I mean, I appreciate what you're saying here. And to defend myself, I realized after that long, torturous note taking that I was taking on too much of the responsibility of plot development. Instead of looking towards unique or interesting facts or storylines or jokes. And that changed the approach for me. And I was able to reduce the amount of note-taking I do and make it more concise.
Oh, all right. Yes, that makes sense. We're coming up a little bit later on an episode that was so much plot development and not very much commentary, but I can understand where if you were getting bogged down in writing notes about what was happening in the book rather than just, I don't know how to, you know, adages about what you felt about it or how it related to something else or joke you found funny, that yeah, I could see where you would have a lot of notes you never used.
Exactly.
Then we did our first questionable answers bonus episode, and those are one of my favorites.
Well, this I agree with you. These have been my favorites because of the fact that, well, for lots of reasons, primarily because it addresses some of the questions that I think the entire audience has about the series. And I think that between the two of us, we come up with some really practical answers. And that's exciting to me.
Yes. And what's funny is when I am writing some of these questions for you, I am expecting some outlandish answer because it seems in my book or in my head that it's an unanswerable question. And then, man, you dig right in and you research and you come up with like a real answer for this ridiculous question.
Well, I guess that's my job.
That's it. That is your duty. After that, we wanted to get away from the books and we did the video game, the first Infocom. And we titled this one In the Dark because it was in the dark the whole time.
That's right. I mean, I really enjoyed playing this game with you and doing the review. And I think it did a fantastic job of encapsulating what could have been a very difficult process to go through.
Right. I think we said In the Dark more than Christmas episode.
Maybe what we should do is promote a drinking game.
Yeah.
go back and retitle them. Okay, in this episode, you have to drink every time he says in the dark.
Yes, yeah, we'll put up the word or phrase for each episode. So the next episode we did was about Restaurant at the End of the Universe, the book. And we titled this one Zaphod the Nothingth. I picked this title because I found that a brilliant line that wasn't in the radio show.
Right.
That his grandfather used when, because there's this joke about a contraception in a time machine where Zaphod the Fourth is really Zaphod the First, but the grandfather or the great grandfather doesn't like calling him the First, so he calls him the Nothingth. So that's why that is titled that. And we try to take some sort of a blurb from the material and use it. Not all of them have done that, but when something jumps out, that's what I like to do.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that was during the infamous seance scene.
The seance scene, which you gave a lot more credibility to and helped my understanding of why all of that was necessary.
Mm-hmm. And we did that in the following episode, the bonus episode.
Yes, absolutely. That's where we did more of the questionable answers. So every book was followed by the questionable answers. So yeah, you really helped me in the questionable answers, answering that why did there have to be a seance?
Right.
And then after that, we did the movie. So we did the Holy Remarkable movie, where we got to do the Hitchhiker's movie that came out in 2005. And again, Zoe Deschanel, if you want to do an interview, no charge.
Just give us a call, Zoe, anytime.
Yeah. I was really looking forward to doing this episode because it had been ages since I had watched the movie, and I remember how much we looked forward to it and enjoyed it. And there were parts that we talk about that could have been better, but all in all, I really like that, the movie.
Yeah, and I think when you did the stuff in the bonus episode after the movie, where you talked about some of the differences in the script that you had compared to the movie that was released, I mean, especially the scene when they're on Vogsphere and they're walking in that desert-like forest and getting slapped in the face. I mean, it's a funny scene. It's definitely slapstick, she said.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it was interesting that you found in the script that there was some explanation of what that was all about. And I really liked learning about that.
Yes. What I found funny is during the episode, you talked about how you are not a fan of anthropomorphized human-sized rats.
Yes.
That they kind of freak you out.
They do.
Because you had mentioned that it would have been funny if there was a full-size rat instead of just the little mice. And you've also mentioned to me recently that you're not necessarily a fan of horror movies.
No.
But you'll go to them if you have to, mm-hmm. but you don't look forward to going to them. Mm-hmm. And that made me think about many, many, many years ago, there was series of movies that came out called 8 Movies to Die For. Hmm. Came out in October. There were 8 movies. They played for 2 weekends. You could just go to one theater and just see all different 8 movies over the 2 weekends. They just alternated them. There was no way I could see all of them, but I just wanted to see one. You happened to be in town. So I said, hey, will you go see one of these movies? And
right.
You're like, sure, why not? So we went. The movie we went to see was called Mulberry Street.
Mulberry Street.
Mulberry Street is kind of like a zombie apocalypse movie.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of turning into zombies, they turn into giant rats. So I'm like, wow, I not only did I make Brian go to a horror movie, but I made one where there were these giant man-like rats walking around.
Oh, you know what's funny? I probably like the man-sized rat I could probably deal with. But the thing that I really have a lot of trouble with are the hamsters that are driving, what are they, Kias?
Yes.
Oh, my God. That's the kind of rat that, or not even a rat, really, but that's the kind of mammal.
Rodent.
Rodent, rather, that it just freaks me out.
Not making you want to buy a Kia, huh?
No, I'm never going to buy a Kia because of that commercial. I mean, let's face it, one of my favorite movies of all time has been Princess Bride, and they have the rodents of unusually large size.
Yes, they do.
And they don't freak me out.
No, not like those Kia hamsters.
No, those Kia hamsters. Ooh.
The next episode we did was about life, the universe, and everything. And we titled this one, Oh No, Not Again. And again, and again, because this is where we get to learn about Agrajag and how he's been killed by Arthur over and over and over.
Right. And I think this is interesting. I'm probably stepping on you here, but I don't know that I would be, actually. There's one thing that's been bugging me about Agrajag and the bowl of petunias. Okay. And we haven't even talked about this. In the first book, I believe it tells us that if we knew why the bowl of petunias said that, we'd know a lot more about the way the universe works.
Yes.
And we kind of make an assumption, I guess, that when we find out why the petunias say what they say, we're supposed to understand something. But I don't think that the whole Agrajag scene explains why the universe wanted to create a being that could be killed over and over and over and over again. So I didn't get an answer. It's really still bugging me.
No, hold on. Once I'm going to grab the book real quick.
Okay. What's it, under a can?
Because you like to really lean on words.
Mm-hmm.
So, hold on. It's before this. Okay. I've got the book here. So, because in the question and answer bonus episodes, you really lean on every single word in the book and scrutinize it to make your point about my question. So that's what I'm going to do here.
Okay.
What it says is, many people have speculated that if we knew. It doesn't mean they're right.
Okay.
Many people have speculated. They were wrong. we don't know anything. So
you're
that's
right.
What we have learned.
You're so right. That's brilliant. That's perfect. There we go. Well, I mean, and I tell you, I mean, that's the kind of answer I was looking for, because it just puzzled me, not puzzled me, but it bothered me that I didn't get an answer. I mean,
yes.
I still have the question. Why does Aggerjag exist? Why does the universe require him to exist? And what brings it back in my mind is Prax and his right. telling of the truth and the fact that he knows Arthur. Well, in this possible huge universe with all these billions of beings, if you will, why would he know Arthur? Well, there must be some fundamental truth about the universe that's wrapped around Arthur, because not only is he critical to the story we're looking at, but he's got some other weird things happening in his life.
Yes, yes. Here's a point that I want to bring up. We've talked about this, how there are UK editions and there are American editions, and the words change and they do some editing and there are abridgments and... So there's all kinds of different editions that they've changed things. The one mm-hmm. that I mentioned before was how many million miles away the Earth is. Mm-hmm. Changes from mm-hmm. the radio series to the record to the book. It's all different. And then the later book, it's even farther. Mm-hmm. So I want to know how you would feel about this, since they're not opposed to doing edits. In a new edition where they put out of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, in the scene in the bar when they're trying to get drunk and eat the peanuts before being beamed up into the Vogon ship, mm-hmm. the bartender says something about going to watch the match tonight. And right. Ford says, what's the point? He's like, foregone conclusion then? And Ford's like, no, the world's going to end. In that scene, they should put in there something about the bartender saying, well, that was quite the spectacle at Lord's Cricket Ground the other night. Which would mean nothing mm-hmm. the first time you read the book.
Right.
But then when you got to Life, the Universe, and Everything, you could see, wow. And then people would go, how brilliant Douglas Adams is that he could work in this little... when it's just an edit after the fact.
Right, exactly. That yeah, that's awesome.
In these omnibus editions where they're all in one novel,
mm-hmm.
put Spectacle at Lord's Cricket Grounds in that bar scene that will bring you, then you'll know what they're talking about when that's you get right. to Life, the Universe, and Everything. So, yeah.
That would be
that's
cool.
all. I just thought that would be a fun thing to put in.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get to the next episode where we break format again. This is where we didn't use our bonus episode as a bonus episode, but we used our bonus episode as part two of our full episode.
Right.
Because right. Doctor Who and the Cricket Man was quite the undertaking.
I feel like we've climbed Mount Everest.
I was so looking forward to that book,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't wait, and it was just long and tedious.
and it's especially so because of the way we approach our, well, let's just say the way we do our due diligence to provide entertaining podcasts.
Right.
I could have read the story and listened to the story and said, oh, okay, I get it. But again, to understand and analyze, we had to go in pretty deep and listen quite often.
Yes, that I guess is something that I didn't know if I was going to be able to do at all with any of the stuff, but I have found it no trouble.
No,
I can
agree.
Just keep listening to this over and over. And I think you do something similar. Like I'll do two listens. Like I'll listen to the whole thing while I'm working and I don't take any notes. And I'll listen to it again, and I'll get more ideas, but I won't have anything to write down. And then I'll do a third listen of it where I don't do it all at once. I'm only going to do an hour's worth of listening to this
right.
and make notes.
Mm-hmm.
One CD or one chapter or
exactly.
whatever.
Yep.
And make all the notes to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's been no dreading it or no drudgery. Like, I look forward to doing it. So that's one thing I am happy about.
Yep.
We then get to tertiary phase, which is the third radio, the radio show program. Mm-hmm. And this one was released way, way, way after secondary phase.
Right.
So this is something that I got to listen to for the first time. So this is the first piece of new content. Well, I guess that's incorrect, because the Christmas episode was about a little blurb that I had no idea existed. But
right.
Again, that was 2 pages.
Exactly.
Not very much at all. So
right.
Tertiary phase, it was the first time I got to listen to this, and I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I wasn't sure of, and I'm not sure if we're going to do or not, I don't know, but they redid primary phase and secondary phase with this cast.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, there is a modern remake of primary and secondary, so tertiary phase blends in better.
Oh,
like,
okay.
If you were gonna listen to them, they'd be the old style with mm-hmm. the old sound effects. So they've updated them. I've not listened to them at all.
Mm-hmm.
We might do one bonus episode or something where we listen to it, because there might not be any difference at all.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I think it would be an interesting thing. We should probably consider that, like you say, as a bonus episode.
Yeah, we'll put it on our list.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody out there has any ideas of something they'd like to hear as a bonus episode, send us an email.
There you go.
Happily consider it.
Mm-hmm. Where did we go from there, Jeff?
We went to the illustrated book from 1994 and called this one a last-minute bonus episode, because that one was released while you were here,
right.
And it was the only thing we had recorded, because we weren't able to record anything else.
Yeah, it was really exciting. I mean, that was kind of a fun adventure. We looked through that book after playing the game, I think.
Yes.
And we were together, which was fun.
For people to understand a little bit about the timeline, you visited a while back
mm-hmm.
in October, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
So a year ago, just about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And while you were visiting, we recorded the Christmas episode together, not mm-hmm. over the internet like we are now. We recorded the illustrated book. We also did the video game.
Right.
We've had this episode for a year, just
right.
sitting. And as you know, I was very unhappy with it.
Yeah, I do know that. I mean, I listened to it and took it back with me and told you that I would do a video edit of it, which I did do, but I never even shared it with you because I won't say afraid, but I was concerned that you wouldn't like it. It wasn't until I came back and, well, this last month when I was visiting you,
yeah.
that we reviewed it again together, and we felt like it had enough content and there was enough opportunity for people to go to YouTube to pick up the pieces that they don't find during the podcast, and therefore we decided to release it.
Yes. A reason that I didn't like it or was afraid of it is, like I had mentioned, I have not read any of the material until we're about to record the podcast.
Right.
So I hadn't read Hitchhikers in ages. And now I'm flipping through this book and I'm seeing things that I can't immediately identify. Well, and
there, I was seeing things, and I had just reviewed it. I don't know why, but I had just re-listened to it, I think, just prior to looking at the book. And even after that, I was still puzzled by some of the scenes that we were looking at.
Right. So in my mind, the puzzling scenes in the book weren't because the scenes in the book were puzzling. It was because I wasn't prepared.
No, that certainly isn't the case.
But after reviewing it again with you, I realized mm-hmm. that no, nobody would know what this is at a glance.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I mean, there's certainly some images that just defy the imagination.
Yes. Yes, there was. And then that brings us to our latest episode. It is our retrospective episode where we're talking about... So how do you think it's going so far? Any fine memories of this episode?
Okay, Jeff, this has been really interesting. And I know that you and I have had a long conversation about time travel.
Yes.
And this one definitely feels like a time travel journey for us. I cannot believe it's been a year since we got started with this process. And I would never have believed we would make it through the entire year. But here we are. And I think it's fantastic.
Absolutely. Something that I do want to mention before we close out, just because I was asking about surprises.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I'm going to say that surprises me. First, that we have people who listen to this podcast from all over the world.
Amazing.
I didn't think it would be anything other than friends or family.
I know. I know what you mean.
So somehow, some way, people in Germany and Sweden and the Netherlands and Australia, and even Mexico. We've had a listener from South Africa. I get all these metrics that come in, and it astounds me. What's funny is that I can look at how many downloads have been in each particular city,
mm-hmm.
and there's a city in Germany that has the most downloads. You know, more than Philly,
right?
so it's where you just live right outside of Philly.
That's
so
right.
It's pretty funny that we have people, and I just want to thank completely everybody who has tuned in and listened over the year. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you continue to enjoy it. We're gonna keep on doing this as long as we've got material to review.
That's right.
Well, that seems to wrap it up for our retrospective episode. So next month, we decided that the best material to cover for episode 1 of season 2 would be the BBC TV show from the 80s. So say goodbye, Brian.
Okay, Jeff. And now it's time to say goodnight. Good night. Sleep tight.
Okay, good night. You and your singing. Thank you for listening to Digital Watches Are a Pretty Neat Idea. Look for us the first Thursday of every month for a full episode. We will also release a bonus episode later in the month. A very special thanks goes out to Luke, Max, Greg, and Tim Lesnick for arranging and performing our opening theme. We would also like to thank our talented friends and family for their voice work on our introductions and commercials. For this episode, special thanks goes out to Dr. Julie Lesnick for our opening. For this episode, a special thank you to Carly Rounds for portraying 2/3 of Eccentrica Golumbitz for our commercial. Visit our website at digitalwatchesareaprettyneatidea.buzzsprout.com, where you can find links to all my Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy-inspired t-shirt designs. You can find us on Facebook and YouTube as Digital Watches Are a Pretty Neat Idea, on Instagram as Watches Idea Podcast, and on Twitter at Watches Idea. If you'd like to contact us, our email is digitalwatchespodcast@gmail.com.
This has been a Fruits for Thought production.
That's a little bit mocking.
Does that matter?
That's the one I'm going to use. Asshole.